Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I like Al Horford for the Celtics. I think he would be a bigger loss than losing Kyrie.
Al truly, genuinely loves Boston. He would do what's necessary to stay.
You don't replace an Al Horford.
Dale Arnold.
They traded for Kyrie Irving, the Celtics did, and ever since then, absolutely nothing has gone right.
Rich Keefe.
And the marathon ends with Minnesota winning in 17 innings.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Being accused by the producer of looking at porn, and I was on Twitter.
Oh, come on.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Not only is the NBA hard to understand many times, and I just believe no one really truly understands the whole salary cap thing and max contracts and what you trade, what you can sign, all that stuff. But I love a league where you basically know an entire deal.
Yeah.
That doesn't become official till July 6th.
Oh, yeah. We got weeks until they can sign off on all these things, but we know everything. We got another deal. We got another trade.
We got a Woj bomb.
Here we go. Woj has been all over. I gave Woj a bit of a hard time because when he first, and it wasn't his fault, but when he first left Yahoo a few years ago and went to ESPN, they really kind of handcuffed him because like he stopped breaking as many stories. And I'm like, where are all these Woj bombs? But recently, he has been ahead of everybody with a lot of this stuff. So it's good to have the real Woj back.
So Memphis has traded guard Mike Conley to the Utah Jazz for Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder, the 23rd pick in tomorrow's draft, and a future first-round pick. According to Woj, that is a protected 2020 first-round pick. The Jazz will send to the Grizzlies. The pick will convey as a late lottery pick in 2020 or 2021, become a lightly protected pick 2022. I'm back to where I started. Nobody understands anything in the NBA.
Don't worry about it. So here's a couple of things. So Mike Conley's name has popped up in all these rumors circulating this week leading up to the draft, trades that the Celtics might make. Bradley Beal's name's been out there. Shockingly, yesterday, the number four pick and somehow moving up to get that popped up, and so did Mike Conley because you kind of knew that they were going to draft. First of all, Mike Conley, for a guy who's never made an all-star team, has had an unbelievably high-paid career. He is still on this max contract that he has. He is making, he's already made $111 million in his career. He's going to make $32.5 million next year, $34.5 million the year after that. Unbelievable.
Great country, America.
Holy smokes. But his name came up because he's good. Like, he's also, he's solid. Again, not an elite type of guy, but he's beyond solid. They have the second pick in this draft. They, by all accounts, are going to take Ja Morant out of Murray State. So they're going to have their point guard. So they want to move on. They don't want to play those guys together. So he goes to Utah. Utah's going to replace Rubio. So they're actually going to be pretty good, I think, next year with Mitchell and Gobert and Mike Conley. So that's a good deal for them. But as our astute producer, Jason Rossi, pointed out when this trade first broke, this makes you want to keep that Memphis pick even more. I think Ja Morant could be really good. I do. I like Ja Morant. But he's going to be a rookie.
He probably won't be Mike Conley to start.
Yeah, right. At least, yeah, not hitting the ground running. So they are really kind of resetting things. And so next season, it's a top six protected pick. My guess is Memphis will be one of the six worst teams, and you won't get their pick next year. The year after that, it's unprotected. So you can either not trade it, and you have that as part of your future, or I think it might even be league-wide a little bit more valuable. Like, I think they'll look at that. They'll see what's going on in Memphis. And now that's going to have almost the appeal of the Brooklyn picks did. Like, those Brooklyn picks were hot commodities and helped get the Kyrie Irving deal done. The other, you know, you kept it the previous years, but you know teams were always asking about it. And I think this one now, the price or the value of it just went up after this trade.
We started the day talking about the Celtics and how, as Jackie McMullen, you heard her during the clip in the open there, has said, basically from the time the Celtics acquired Kyrie Irving, nothing has gone right since then.
It's so true.
It's been all downhill since then. You've got now he's going to leave. Now, apparently, Al Horford is about to opt out of his deal and go seek more money and more terms somewhere else. And you've got a team that no one wants to come to.
No
one wants to play for. Unlike when Danny was able to talk Kevin Durant after he acquired him into signing a new deal, Kevin Garnett, to signing a new deal here, it ain't going to happen again.
It is really
the whole
amazing
Anthony Davis thing. Remember, Danny will get him in here. He'll talk him into it. And then Anthony Davis's agent is saying, no.
And we're not going there.
He doesn't want to go there.
And he got what he wanted, by the way, and got to go to the Lakers without having to have a weird year somewhere else. Didn't have to do that. I look at it in the last franchise history, I suppose, the two best free agents that they have signed. And again, I know what the argument would be on the other side. You'd say, well, when Pierce and Garnett and Allen were here, it was hard to get free agents because you didn't have a lot of money. So it wasn't really apples to apples. Some of these teams could just say, hey, here's the full max. Yep. Celtics couldn't do that. But either way, if you're looking at marquee free agents or all-stars that they signed, there's really been two: Al Horford and Gordon Hayward. Al Horford signed a 4-year deal and bailed after the third year. So he was like, I'll play here, but he opts out of $30 million, and by all accounts, he's going somewhere else. And the second guy played for Brad Stevens in college. So I guess you can count that one, but I have a feeling you were on that list because of Brad Stevens. If he was coaching somewhere else, I'm sure it's Utah, Miami, and wherever else Brad Stevens was as finalists for Gordon Hayward. So you're back to, let's not pretend they can get a high-priced, big-market guy. I know they don't have a max spot, Dale, but even if they did, who are they getting?
Well, and
it has to be trades. Well,
let's play it out. Let's say that they decide they're going to do the Rich Keith plan. They're going hard after DeMarcus Cousins.
Boogie Cousins is the answer.
Let's say that's the case.
Yes.
Do you really think he'd come here? Because I don't.
I'd have to know what the other options are. So he just played this year in Golden State for really cheap. But that was, he had to rehabilitate, like literally. He was coming off of an Achilles injury. Yeah. He didn't play until halfway through the season. So he played for $5 million, and he did so on a team that we all assumed was going to win the title. So that's why he did that. So what are his motivations now? Is he going to sign another 1-year deal and get his stock up and then try to cash in after that? Is he simply going to try to cash in? I just look at the guys that are out there. Maybe teams are on the league. I don't think he's going to get offered the max anywhere. Like, because he didn't prove it this year that he's worth
that
right
now. So let's put a price tag on it. Let's say
15 million.
Okay, let's say 15 for the sake of our discussion. Celtics, by the way, could afford that.
Yes. I guess it depends on how low the other offers are. I can't imagine it's very high on his list. And that's why it gets back to, you're going to have to make trades and you're going to have to draft well. And that's it's impossible to draft well at 14, 20, and 22. So you're going to have to try to trade up if you want somebody in this draft, or you're going to have to try to make some other sort of deal. So you can now cross Mike Conley off the list, and it goes to, is it Bradley Beal? Is it somebody else? And then the other part of it is, where are they right now? If you take this team and the Eastern Conference, which should be wide open, the Bucks, who won 60 games, they'll be the favorite. I'm assuming Kawhi Leonard's gone, so the Raptors will be back in the pack. The 76ers could easily lose Jimmy Butler. They'll be good, but they'll be in the pack. Can the Celtics still be in the pack with what they have, or are they not even in that group? Like, how far do they drop with the loss of Al Horford? Because I felt like he somewhat legitimized them. Not that he's a superstar. He's like a fringy all-star. But he's also, first of all, at a position that they don't have anymore. So he was an important piece, just that alone. But also, you can't have a team of just young guys. You can't, like, that's never worked in the history of the league.
All right, play along with me here because you're my basketball GM for the day.
I'm the guy.
So Mike Conley got the Grizzlies, Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder, the 23rd pick in Thursday's draft, and a future first-round pick. What's the Celtics equivalent to that? If Danny even was interested in Mike Conley, what's the equivalent package? Now, they've got the 21st pick in this year's draft.
Yeah, because
and a future first-round pick. So we'll set those aside.
Well, so that you know, could easily, and I think those, that's a protected pick anyway. So the pick is easy. The Celtics own pick 20 and 22.
Right.
Both are better than 23. Yeah. So that right away is a wash. Grayson Allen coming off of a rookie year where he was not much. He played in like half the games and nothing too special there. Korver, an old dude, but a really good shooter. Like, so you have that. And then Jay Crowder, you know exactly what Jay Crowder is. And he's bounced around the league to this point.
The question I have is, could Danny,
if he wanted Conley, yes.
He could have put together this sort of package.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out what the equivalent is, because part of it is how much those guys were making, right? Because Mike Conley makes over $30 million a year. So a lot of it, I think, is just
matching
salaries.
Yeah.
And right now, the Celtics aren't in a real position to do that. Korver makes $7.5 million, and Crowder makes just under $8 million. So Smart makes more than that. Tatum makes about that, but you're not trading Tatum, obviously. Like, so the players, I don't even know what it would have been. Like, Time Lord's a rookie. Like, Grayson Allen's a rookie. Couple of veteran-type shooters. It's weird because the roster doesn't really fit exactly that way, but they could have gotten them. But I don't think you want to tie yourself into Mike Conley for 2 years and $34 million. And I know part of me is saying, well, you're not going to necessarily be able to attract that free agent, so you might have to trade for somebody with 2 years. That is probably the ideal scenario. Trade for somebody with 2 years. Try to get two playoff runs out of them. And at that point, if they like it, you can also offer them more money, and maybe that'll convince them to stay. What's going on now, though, is just they had to plan this out. Like, they had to, at some point, Danny Ainge, as the season was going on, say, all right, what could our offseason look like? I don't think he's surprised by Kyrie Irving. At least he can't be. I know he said that they were going to get married and all that with the analogy that he threw out there. But the Al Horford thing had to surprise him. Had to surprise
him. Yes, it did.
And now he's gone, and now they're left kind of scrambling a little
bit.
And
to reiterate for Celtics fans out there who don't understand this stuff, I don't understand it. I don't blame you. Here's the deal. Even with Kyrie leaving, and even with Horford leaving, with their money, you can't go out and sign Kevin Durant to a max contract and stash him for a year and let him rehab on your dime. You can't do it. You don't have the money to do it.
Yeah, you're close. You're like $28 million. I think to free up a max spot, it's closer to $32 million. So that's not going to happen. And then on top of that, your overall point is, who would sign with the Celtics anyway? Like, yeah, who would want?
And to
let's
my
say
point,
they did have a max deal.
Even if they did.
Who's signing?
Kevin
there?
Durant's not coming here.
No. But I also think you don't need to panic. I feel like bringing in Mike Conley would be like kind of a panic move. You bring him in, you're like, see, we got a starting point guard now, and he's a legitimate player, and he's good. But now you're paying this guy $34 million each of the next two seasons. I don't think that's the way to go. I think this way, because you can go into the year, you don't have to be right at the cap. For most years, they are. Like, when they've been really competitive, of course they are, or they're over the cap. But you could start out the year under the cap, and then allow yourself to be a little bit more flexible. Maybe the team's a little bit better than you thought, and maybe you can make some trades or whatever. It's not ideal. Last year, they were a legitimate contender to come out of the East and maybe give the Warriors a series. Now, the conversation has shifted to, well, I think they're a playoff team. And, like, what a difference a couple of years makes.
Do you think that there is any scenario, and Danny's probably got, you know, 50 scenarios sitting on his desk right now. We can do this. We can go after that. We can do this. Do you think any one of those scenarios, he goes, you know what? We contend for a title with that.
No. No, they're in the worst place possible because they have too much talent, I think, to tank. It's not the team. Look, go pull up the roster from a few years ago that tanked, and it didn't work, and they ended up getting Marcus Smart and not, you know, they didn't get Joel Embiid they're better off not getting Wiggins or Parker the way it looks now. But they wanted a number one pick. They got the number six pick. Look at that roster. This roster is so much better than that. So you're not going to go into it and saying, hey, you know what, just tank, and then you're going to have their pick, you're going to have the Memphis pick in 2 years, and then you're going to reset there. You have Tatum, you have Brown, you have Hayward, you have Smart. That should get you into the playoffs, but you're not beating anybody. Like, that's why it's so frustrating.
Yep.
Because what's the clear direction? And that may be determined by whatever the next move is. Like, if Danny Ainge trades, let's say he trades the number 14 pick and the Memphis pick and moves up to number 4 and gets Darius Garland out of Vanderbilt, a kid who barely played this year because he got hurt, but everybody's talking about him as the consensus number 4 pick. He's like a scoring point guard. If you do that, you're saying we're going to be really young, and then we're going to build the team around Garland, Tatum, and Brown going forward. That's one direction that you could make. If you go and get a Bradley Beal, or obviously Mike Conley's off the list now, but somebody like that, that's a different direction. That's like a weird kind of purgatory where you're like, we're going to semi-compete right now.
So we think that if you looked at the past season, if you looked at who's the first point of blame for how this thing ended, you'd say Kyrie Irving.
I would. Yeah, best player.
And I think most of us would say, you know, Kyrie, his inability to work with the younger players, his pointing fingers at younger players, they just don't get it. His apology to LeBron James.
Oh, that was number one on the list. Right, well, so, him just throwing Brad Stevens under the bus at times, like just throughout the year. And then really the icing on the cake was his poor playoff performance, because in the regular season, his individual numbers were very good. Like, he had career numbers. Like, he was good there, but I don't think he made guys around him better. And a lot of them took a step back. And when you're talking about guys in their early 20s, that really should never be the case.
So if Kyrie's number one on our hit parade,
yeah,
I think Brad Stevens is number two. A, Kyrie and Brad Stevens apparently didn't get along very well. Kyrie bristled at Brad Stevens' control. B, wasn't it Brad Stevens who kind of force-fed Gordon Hayward at the beginning of the season? You know, trying to get him out there, trying to get him again.
That's one, and he did, and I think the players had a hard time with that. But one of the biggest issues to me was, don't you need to explain to Tatum and Brown that, listen, Gordon Hayward is going to be a part of this. So even if he's struggling right now, or explain to the whole team, be like, listen, we're going to play him a lot in January because we're hoping we're still playing in June and he's going to be better. He just missed a whole season. So he kind of has to play a lot. You can't go into your shell and say, this guy stinks and he's the coach's kid and he's getting all these minutes. No, he was an all-star in the league. You need to figure out what you have in him. And so Jackie McMullen was on Early Edition last night, and she talked about the problems that the Celtics had. And one of them, just like you said, Dale, was the issues with Brad force-feeding Gordon Hayward.
But I really think that's where it started. They were force-feeding Gordon Hayward on his teammates. Brad knew Gordon well, wanted to give him his confidence back. You know, I would contend that Brad Stevens would have done that for any player on that roster that had had a catastrophic injury. He would have wanted to fill him with the same confidence, but that's not what happened. What happened was he gave the benefit of the doubt over and over and over to a player who wasn't ready, to a guy who had history with him, and it rankled that locker room. And it bothered that locker room. And then I think they drew conclusions from it that probably weren't even fair or accurate, but it doesn't matter. If you feel that way, then it's real. Check and that's it. Where it started, in my opinion.
Yeah, and like that's just a mess with everybody. Like, they're all
like a real weak locker room too, doesn't it?
It does. Oh yeah. And I think when Kyrie's your player leader, and then you gotta blame Stevens for not communicating that well enough. The young guys also, you can't give them a complete pass. Like, I think the optics of who it was is definitely a problem, too, because he had never done anything with the Celtics. 5 minutes into his Celtics career, he was done for the year, and then he's trying to make his way back, and he's not the same player. So what were they supposed to do? Bench him all year? Like, how dumb would that have been?
That didn't make any sense.
That would have been useless, because he could play. Like, you could actually put together a highlight tape of Gordon Hayward and convince yourself that he was back. Now, it might be a very short highlight film, but you could.
And like, it might have been spread out over like 18 different games.
Well, the other thing is they were very, very infrequently were they back-to-back games, but you could splice it together. So it wasn't like he was a complete lost cause, but for most of the season he struggled. But those guys just never figured it out. Danny Ainge is much lower on my list. I know he's probably higher on some people's list, because the reality is you usually just want the most talent possible. But at some point, how do you not recognize that this group does not work together? Whether it's trading away Terry Rozier for something, whether it's moving on from Marcus Morris, I feel like there needed to be some sort of adjustment for the locker room. Didn't happen.
Of course, the other part of this whole thing, and back to Danny, we've been hearing for years, he's accumulating this asset and that asset, and he's got these picks and those picks, and he's going to be able to cash all these chips in. And
well, get ready for two more years of the we got the
accumulating
Memphis
assets.
Pick. We got the Memphis pick.
Yeah,
like, okay, great. Yeah, and a cut we played earlier today from Jackie McMullen, where she talked about things going wrong, like the Sacramento pick. That's a great example. You think that's a great coup? Like, ooh, look at you! You have the Sacramento pick. They always pick super high up in the draft. 14 in a draft where there might be three players in it.
Yeah.
And so even that didn't go your favor. They had one of their best seasons in years, and they almost made the playoffs, for God's sakes. And so that pick meant nothing. And so you're left with, on a team where salary cap really doesn't matter, you have some, but not even enough. And now it's really, it's all about Tatum and Brown. If Tatum and Brown take that next step, you're really not that far off. But if
we thought it was going to be Tatum and Brown and Horford.
You did. Yeah, you did.
I thought it was.
I thought Horford was going to be a part of it. And I thought he would have been important for those guys. Again, just year three and four for their careers. You want sort of a stabling presence, a guy that has played in a million playoff games, a guy that is respected in the league, in the locker room, everything. You lose that guy, and you're not going to be able to replace him. There's not going to be somebody like Al Horford that's just available, and you can just add him to your roster. So, yeah, they're in a really weird place this year.
And you're going into the draft tomorrow night with three picks that you think mean nothing.
No, and they clearly don't want to use three picks. Like, there's no chance. They would be so mad if they walked away using three picks. And it's funny because that actually happened really not that long ago. You remember they had the year that they drafted Yabusele and Ante Zizic? Like, they didn't want all those. That was the Jaylen Brown year, too. So I think they were happy with 13, but they were trying to trade picks away, and they ended up taking two more first-rounders and stashing them because they were like, we don't want these guys right now. So if they're still on the board, 14, 20, and 22, and they can't find a trade, you're going to get guys that aren't even going to be on the roster next year anyway. Hopefully you get Bol Bol. Everybody wants
Bol
Bol.
That's your guy.
Yeah, everybody wants Bol Bol.
You want Bol Bol and DeMarcus Cousins. They'll stand next to each other for one of those preseason pictures. Mm-hmm. They'll look like the number 10.
Well, you know what I like? It's the new Twin Towers. Those guys.
Is that what it is?
They're the new Twin Towers.
You're going to go with that?
You don't think so?
So the best since Tim Duncan and David Robinson?
No, since Ralph Sampson and Hakeem Olajuwon. Since, actually, you know what it would be more like? Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler.
That worked out real well.
When the Knicks went big that year, that was Isaiah Thomas's mastermind, the OG Isaiah Thomas. But yeah, they don't want all these picks. They got them. And was it the Himmelsbach article we were reading yesterday said, even if they traded all three of those picks to a team that would be willing to take them on, you'd probably only be able to move up to like 8 or 9 or 7, like at best. And so I don't know how they would get up to number 4 without including the Memphis pick. So we'll see.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. But first, an award-winning trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now from Rich Keefe.
No need to check the time as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
Call that's you what you it. Called noon for 30. Crying.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
So we were just briefly discussing mock drafts here. And then
it's
I realized...
It's mock draft season.
Well, yeah, who cares?
You don't care?
After the third,
it's the draft.
After the third guy, who cares?
Where was Giannis picked? Where was Kawhi Leonard picked? Where was Paul George
picked?
Everybody
says this is a three-player draft, so anything after
you're going to believe those same people?
Maybe.
No, you shouldn't. There's been a lot of great players that were picked. Look at the entire Toronto Raptors roster. They were all non-lottery picks.
Yeah, well.
That's pretty good. So today's NBA mock draft comes to you courtesy of the USA Today. Yesterday we did the Ringer. Had some good ones there. Let's see. Number 14, Tyler Hero from Kentucky.
Good player.
Yeah, great.
It's a hero.
Well, they would love him in Boston, right? Isn't that what they would say? Anyway, number 20 on the list, Kevin Porter Jr. from USC. Anybody?
Hello?
Shime, you like him?
Nah.
Okay. And number 22, nice little player named... Mifiondu Cabangeli.
I hope he comes here just to
Florida
hear you
State.
Say it.
Florida State. So you're not in on any of those guys? Yesterday we had Bol Bol. That got everybody talking.
I like that last guy. I want him to be on the team just so we have to say his name a lot.
How would you possibly say his name?
I can't say normal words.
No, that's a good point. We're asking the wrong guy.
Fiondu Cabangeli.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Look at Scheim showing off.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be a good team.
I followed a lot of soccer, so I pronounce some weird names sometimes.
I like that. So you can be our pronunciation guide.
Absolutely. And I can spell well, too. So there you go.
It's not really that important.
Radio
of a skill,
doesn't come up all that often.
Or in life. It's really not that important.
Keith, your guy, Kevin Porter Jr. there. His,
yeah.
His player comps, Justice Winslow and Lonnie Walker.
Justice Winslow.
Danny Ainge loved him some Justice Winslow.
Before he got drafted, I was a really big fan. But after the fact, no. No, not for me. So that's not a great list, let's be honest. But that's where they're at.
That's where we're going. 617-779-7937. Bill is in Revere. Hey, Bill.
How you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Doing great.
Good. I'm listening to who's going to be blamed second. And Brad Stevens is not to be blamed at all. I mean, I'm a greener all the way. I wanted Kyrie to come here. I would have given anything for him. It was evident after he was here, you know, half the season or whatever, that something was wrong. He definitely was a complete poison pill. How did Brad Stevens do what he did the year before, missing all those pieces, get further along? And you know, and he comes in.
The teams they played weren't as good.
Yeah, well, it seems to me, Keith, you said it, that the young players didn't advance. Well, if you're looking for Jaylen Brown and Tatum to get better, they didn't, and there's a reason why. I mean, so we're losing him. I'm looking forward to next year more without him for some reason. I don't know why. I didn't enjoy the way he played. I didn't enjoy the way he handled himself. I think a lot of the fans feel that way.
Well, I think you're right. I think a lot of people are hopeful that Tatum and Brown are able to take a step forward this year, but I don't think you can let Brad Stevens off the hook for this year because this was the team and he couldn't make the most out of this team. You're right. 2 years ago, he got a lot out of them. And the hope is this upcoming season, he gets a lot out of them. But I'm not going to just write off this year and say, hey, it wasn't his fault. Yeah, it was. He or one of the guys at fault.
Right.
He did not have a good season. He even admitted himself that he had a terrible season.
I mean, I know that you know free agency isn't done yet, hasn't even really started for the Celtics. I know the draft hasn't happened yet. But as it stands right now, when you're looking at a team that underperformed in the playoffs this year, and is about to be without Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, how do you say you're looking forward to next season?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, it goes back to the, well, they're easy to root for, I guess, when they're the underdog. And, you know, they're going to be the underdog next year. Whereas this year, the expectation was they're going to win 55, 60 games and be competing for a title. And then they fell short. And that's brutal. Now you go in next year where really anything they do is gravy. So if they make the playoffs, that's a win. If they win a round in the playoffs, that's a win. Whereas this year, the expectation was so much higher.
617-779-7937. Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Well, at least you brought up the fact that everyone on the Raptors would have been available with equivalent picks to what we have. And by the way, the second and third best players on the Bucks were picked in the second round. Never mind the first. Did you guys bother even to look at these guys? Like Cabangeli, when Florida State played Duke, you can make the case that over the two games, he outplayed Zion.
I got the he's comp really for him. I found good. The NBA comp for him. Vin Baker. That's what it says right here.
I he's Vin Baker.
That's what it
he's
says. Well, I mean, maybe he's sober. I don't know, but it says Vin Baker.
Nah. Well, he's,
I'm reading from these draft sites.
He's good. He's a good athlete, good length.
Yeah, but you know, Mike, you know that it's a crapshoot. You know, 14, 20, and 22 is an absolute crapshoot.
Yeah, three rolls of the dice. Listen,
right.
If Al was here, remember, the whole point of, like, not wanting three rookies is because Al was here and they're trying to win. Al's gone, you use all three of the picks. What's the point? You're developing talent right now. So this is a good draft, particularly for the Celtics, because it's all wings at the top, and we already have Brown and Tatum.
You're the only person saying it's a good draft, though. Everybody's saying it's not a good draft.
Players?
Literally nobody's saying
that.
Star
players. When they say it's a two-player draft, they're talking about superstars.
All right, well, that's what wins.
You're all-stars.
That's what you need.
But look at the Raptors. The Raptors had one superstar and a bunch of good guys around them, and they won a championship. This draft is great for all those guys not named Kawhi. That's the whole point of this draft. And you want three rolls of the dice, and maybe the one turns out to be a superstar, because nobody knew that about Giannis or Kawhi at the time either.
Listen, maybe they'll fall into it. Maybe they'll luck into a Antetokounmpo out of nowhere, and you'll be saying, oh my God, can you believe he was sitting there at 14?
Well, three stabs at it, and this is what happened in 2016. You should take a foreign player. like Giannis, it was hard to really know, right? Because he didn't play the college game. Somebody like Jokic, who was turned into like a top 10 player, didn't really know a lot about him. They drafted him, didn't even play that year, then came over to the United States after that. That's what they tried to do in 16. They drafted Yabusele and Ante Zizic at 16 and 23. So they took a stab at it. Now, neither of those guys look like they're going to be anything, but that's probably what they're going to do. I mean, I'm more with Mike than I'm not. Like, I think just because 14, 20, 22, it's going to be players that, you know, you're not. It's going to be hard to get excited about them. It doesn't mean, like, this draft, 60 players that are going to be picked tomorrow night, only three of them are going to be good. That's never how it goes. It's just difficult to identify the other guys.
What are the chances, and I think they're real slim, that Danny takes picks with those three selections that Danny makes picks? I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, but how wouldn't he? Like who's going to trade for him? Like, they don't seem to be all that valuable. So, like, again, go back to 2016. They also had 1,000 second-round picks that year, and they had to take most of them because teams...
Well, Memphis just took the 23rd pick as part of a draft pack trade package.
Well, yeah, but they also were able to get rid of Mike Conley. And that's what they were planning on
right,
doing.
And, right.
that was one pick. And so they'll take Ja Morant at the top of the draft, then they'll take somebody else at 23. So, yeah, maybe. I think the hope is they're going to move on from those picks, but that doesn't mean that some team is going to say, oh, I can't wait to get my hands on number 22.
It's like when Don Sweeney ended up having to pick 13, 14,
yeah.
and 15.
That's not the plan.
The last thing he wanted to do. Thought he had, you know, something worked out that he was going to deal a couple, if not all three of those picks.
I feel like a lot of their draft nights, I remember, you know, doing shows at the draft parties and doing all that stuff, and the anticipation was, oh, they're going to make some sort of trade. Like, this is where Paul George goes, or Jimmy Butler, or somebody, and nothing really happens. And they end up, you know, even when they drafted Jason Tatum, remember they had the number one pick, then they traded down to number three, and then That's what they did. And so you're waiting around for something to happen, and it doesn't.
I was reading this earlier today, and somebody was writing about the difference between NBA and NFL in terms of, in the NBA, superstars are more than willing to go sign somewhere else, get that free agency money. I'm headed out. In the NFL, you don't see it happen all that often, where the NBA players have really seized control of themselves and their league. They really run the league.
Well,
and the NFL, where you would think you'd have all the power in the world.
Yeah, you don't. Look at the contracts.
They have nothing.
They don't have guaranteed contracts. Like, their league is a joke when it comes to that. If any league should have guaranteed contracts, it's the NFL.
Them.
And they don't. I also feel like teams that, you know, if they draft a really good player and they want to keep them, that usually happens, right? Like, you see them maybe a year before their contract is up, they extend them to a monster contract. And then on top of that, their careers are usually shorter, too. Right, so they have less time to bounce around from team to team.
They just they don't seize the opportunity in the NFL, and believe me, I'm glad they don't. But if a guy like Brady had, you know, instead of, you know, extending contracts and redoing contracts all through the years, had said, no, I'm going to play till my contract's up, and then I'm going to see what's out there.
Yeah, and look at the difference, too. Now, part of it might be because how much one player impacts in one sport compared to the other. Now, quarterbacks might be a little bit different.
Especially,
But if you're looking at, like, Le'Veon Bell is a great example. If Le'Veon Bell was in the NBA, he probably would have been traded to the team that wanted him, and he would have gotten a max deal. Because it's also weird in football. Like, you're comparing these dollar amounts, and you keep setting the bar higher. Whereas in the NBA, we know what the most these players can make. Like, there's a cap on how much they can make. Not only is there a salary cap in the league, but there's a salary cap or there's a max deal. This is what this guy is eligible to make. So it's not even like you're really...
Yeah, why do you need an agent, for crying
so
out
loud? So I've actually wondered that myself. If you're a top 20 player and you know you're getting the max...
You know exactly what you can get. You know what the term is. You know how much per year.
But so to me, that doesn't make any sense to have an agent. However, if you're Kyrie Irving and you just switched over to Roc Nation, isn't part of it... All right, you're going to help me out with my endorsements and my movies and my things like that. Like, I think that's
probably
why.
I assume that's the only thing because the NBA contracts are kind of cut and dried.
They are. Well, only for the elite guys.
Right.
Because, like, Evan Turner, for example, if he didn't have the agent that he had, maybe he's not getting the same amount from Portland. Maybe, like, that helps. But the max is the max, so you might as well keep that last 5% and not have to give it off to somebody.
It's like, even in the NFL, to some degree, everybody just gets slotted. First round,
talking
about.
And rookies first round, shouldn't.
You know exactly what.
Yeah.
I guess, okay, I was picked here. I'll just wait to see what the pick ahead of me gets.
Yeah, maybe you're just afraid of, like, the fine print or whatever, like whatever they can do for you, or certain bonus structures or things like that. But yeah, I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense for some of those top guys. I mean, Kyrie wherever he goes, I think it's going to be Brooklyn, is going to get exactly the most that they can offer him.
They must have legalized tampering in the NBA, huh?
Because all these deals are done.
I was going to say, not only do we think he's going right. to go to Brooklyn, there's a contract somewhere, all signed, dated July 6th or whatever it is.
Well, that's the
it's
best part.
It's done. It's sitting in a drawer somewhere.
All of these Woj tweets always end with, like, deal can be official July 6th.
July 6th,
like,
yeah.
Every single one of them.
And
is
they're
like,
going to be scrambling on the 5th to get this all typed up and signed, right?
It's going to be a busy day. Yeah. They're going to have to make arrangements, get some flights, get some face-to-face. Nope, these are all done.
I mean, I would bet, and they've got to be careful, they've got to be secretive and all that stuff, Kyrie Irving's already taken his physical. They've done all of this stuff. There were reports he bought a place in...
So, you know what I think hasn't gotten enough attention so far is the Anthony Davis trade. One of the key pieces is Brandon Ingram.
Right.
So, he missed a big chunk of the end of last season because of blood clots. Mm. Is he just going to pass the physical with flying colors? And if not, how does that reset everything with the Lakers?
Believe it or not, our buddy Michael McCann had to write about an injury in the NBA. And Michael McCann, who's great at this sports and law stuff, takes a look at the Kevin Durant story and possible legal implications.
Bob Myers, you're under the gun here.
We'll add that into the mix in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
UEEI. So we all know the story of Kevin Durant and what happened. Originally got injured back on May 8th with what was described at the time as a calf injury.
It didn't look like a calf injury, but fair
he didn't
enough.
React like it was a calf injury. I will point out to you, by the way, that the calf muscle is attached to something called the Achilles tendon.
Yeah, so it's in the area. It's not like they said he had an elbow injury.
So then the question became, you know, what really is wrong? There's a guy by the name of Dr. David Chow.
Oh, internet doctor.
Yeah. Former Chargers team physician, writes in the San Diego Tribune. He said Durant's reaction to the May 8th injury suggested he might have suffered an Achilles tendon rupture.
Yeah.
He noted at the time that, and I'm reading now from Michael McCann's piece on SI.com, the team's labeling of Durant as suffering a calf injury was not inconsistent with an Achilles injury. The Achilles can be considered part of the calf lower leg area. The team notably did not say calf muscle, but instead the less precise term calf.
So maybe they're right.
Now, interesting, because McCann writes a whole piece about the possible legal implications to Kevin Durant's injury here. He suggests that one of the people who didn't want it out there that he suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon was Kevin Durant. Hmm. The thought being, by he and his agent, that we're going to opt out of this deal at the end of the year. You're going to be a free agent. We don't want teams thinking you've got a ruptured Achilles. We'll tell them you got a calf issue.
Yeah, but he came back, though.
Well, and
that's the weird part of this whole thing. It's one thing if he never played. You're like, wow, he was out for a long time without a calf injury because he hurt it against the Rockets. They went on, finished that series, won without him. They swept the Trailblazers without him. They go to the NBA Finals. They're down 3-1 in the series, and then all of a sudden here comes Kevin Durant, and he played for a whole quarter and looked really good. So he clearly didn't have a ruptured Achilles then. He wouldn't have been able to play.
Well, Dr. Chow talked about the return-to-play decision.
Yeah.
When you get cleared to play and all that. He says return-to-play is a joint decision between the medical staff, player, and team. The vote has to be a unanimous yes to return to play. The medical staff decision made jointly by the doctor, surgeon, consultants, trainers, physical therapists. The player makes his call with input from his agent, advisors, personal doctors, family.
Yeah.
Team position formulated by coaches, GM, front office, whatever.
You say the GM?
Yeah.
He just wants to play basketball.
I know.
And right now he can't.
I know.
And that basketball has gotten him through his life. So it means, I don't know that we can all understand how much it means to him. He just wants to play basketball with his teammates and compete.
It means a lot.
So, Durant and his agent, his manager, a guy by the name of Rich Kleeman, They voted yes. According to Steve Kerr, Durant also got the advice of another physician who Durant retained outside the Warriors organization.
And they all gave him...
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow.
Oh, he blew it out. Whole thing's blown out. So they all said yes.
They all said yes. And that's where...
So what's the legal issue?
And it's interesting. He could explore, according to McCann, he could look at the possibility of a legal case. He probably couldn't sue the Warriors. What he could theoretically do, and by the way, McCann thinks it would be a long shot to win this thing, is he could theoretically talk about suing the physicians for an improper diagnosis and an improper clearing to play.
I mean,
you get into this whole issue, and it happened with the Red Sox.
Nobody will ever look at him again.
No, I know.
I would never, like, oh, this is the guy that sued for, I'm not going to look at your leg.
It happened here with Marty Barrett and Dr. Pappas. The whole idea of you know, physicians working for the team.
Yeah.
Are they being pressured by the team? Hey, you know, we really need him here.
Well, there's a lot of issues with the Red Sox. They had problems with that. And, like,
well,
because
he was part of the ownership group, too. That was even worse.
That's a tough one.
But there's this whole idea of, you know, could he pursue some sort of a malpractice suit? He probably would not. And McCann said it would be really hard for him to prove that.
I am fascinated as to what he is going to do. So he has a player option, just like Al Horford does, who's going to opt out. Kyrie Irving does, who's going to opt out. So he could easily just pick it up and make $31 million to rehab. Right? Like, hey, that's the contract that he signed. He's not unrestricted. So he can pick it up, $31 million as you're getting ready, and then prove to teams that you're healthy and sign a new deal after that. Or does he opt out now and lock in a four-year deal with somebody, which I think a team would do that, or maybe even a couple teams would be willing to do that because of who it is, even though we went through the list of players that have had Achilles injuries, and it is really difficult
to bounce back like that. We came up with one.
Yeah.
A guy who came back and had some semblance of what he was before the injury. The only one we came up with was Dominique Wilkins.
Right. And a lot of the guys were a little bit older, like when it happened to Kobe Bryant. DeMarcus Cousins still doesn't look the same. Although part of it is, you know, he's on a team where he's now the fourth option instead of the first, so maybe that's part of it. I think Wes Matthews had it, and he looks somewhat similar, but probably still not as good. So that's a really, really difficult injury to come back from. So do you guarantee yourself the four more years? And then so some team has to sit on $30-plus million for Kevin Durant for 1 year, and then they basically are just, it's a hold, and they're hoping to compete the following season. So He really throws a curveball at the entire NBA season that's coming up.
Now, the question would be, when Durant said yes, did he have all the information he needed to make an informed decision?
Right.
That would be what you'd try to... If Durant was going to fight this thing, if he was going to file some sort of a lawsuit against the doctors, that's what he would fight. Yes, I said yes because they told me...
Yeah.
You know, you can't hurt it anymore, or whatever.
I mean, but
it
they can't possibly know that. Like, there's no, like, you can't re-aggravate it. Like, what situation would that ever be right? So he goes out there. He clearly didn't have a ruptured Achilles at first. It obviously hurt. He was out for a while. But the fact that he was able to play.
Could have had a strained Achilles,
though.
Yeah,
could have had a strained Achilles.
Which, it seems more and more likely that's what he had to begin with.
Yeah, but that's also one of the, like, with any of these injuries. So is that 5 weeks? Is that 6 weeks?
Right.
Is that, like, it's different for everybody. So you want to try to come back. It's the NBA Finals. It's not like they brought you back, you know, the fifth week of the NBA season. Like, nope. It was the NBA Finals. Your team was facing elimination. They put you back in. You agreed to it. Two physicians brought you into it. So there's nobody that you can sue. Like, it sucks. You want all the best players out there. You don't want any of the best players to be hurt and have to miss a season, but that's the deal.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes, including the Red Sox and a couple of things that are puzzling us a little bit, including a pitching change from last night. 617-779-7937, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.